Welcome back to the discussion as we reflect on the blessings God has given to us in the callings of men and women. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and I have the privilege of serving as one of the pastoral advisors for the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee, and also as the pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama. In our desire for people who are listening to be able to put a name to a voice in this audio format discussion, let's introduce ourselves once more.
Hi, I'm Naomi Schmidt. I serve on the Women's Ministry Executive Team. I'm just thrilled to be part of this discussion.
I'm Dawn Schultz. I am thankful also to be here as part of the discussion.
I'm Christy Meyer, and I also serve on the Executive Team and have put this devotional series together with help from many, many talented people, more so than I am.
As the project manager of our email series, Christy also then has just this excellent understanding of not only the project as a whole, but how the project all fits together and what's going on each week. You've already heard that in a number of our discussions where she's already spilling the beans on things that are coming up in coming weeks. So because of that, Christy, maybe give us a quick update of where we've been so far and kind of where we're going, just so that people can kind of, at least in their own minds, start putting their own pieces together.
Yep, absolutely. So we are starting way back in the Garden of Eden. That's where we are this week. And remembering what the unique callings of men and women look like before sin marred them. Moving forward then, next week is going to be sad. We're going to talk about the fall into sin. And then continuing to look at some of these additional aspects of unique callings of men and women before getting into, in the latter half of the summer, in August especially, the topics where the rubber really hits the road and looking at how these play out in our personal 21st century lives, but always being sure to lay a firm foundation before we do that.
So as you read this week's devotion, or the second one this week, you noticed the word interdependent came up quite a bit. In fact, near the beginning of the devotion, the author pointed out how, you know, God has created this interdependent partnership of man and woman, and just how hard the devil and sin works to not only degrade the design, but make it seem very dysfunctional, which stands in stark contrast to the picture we have in creation. Not only in the equality, God looks as he looks at Adam and Eve and sees them both as his dearly loved children who have distinct callings, but they also seem very united and interdependent. And so we're going to talk quite a bit about that interdependence between man and woman in the world quite a bit in our emails, but it might be good for us just to kind of lay out a picture of what we mean as we talk about that interdependence.
So I would say when I think of that interdependence, I think about each one completing the other. We're going to talk a lot about what one can do that the other is unable to do on their own. The best place we see this immediately is in the Garden of Eden, where Adam is told to fill the earth and subdue it. And we have all enough of a basic understanding of biology to know that that is not, in fact, happening on his own, not so much. And so woman was created, Eve was created to help Adam fulfill a need that he was unable to satisfy, to fill on his own. That's not to say that she was the only reason she was created, right? She's helping him with other things too, things that he could possibly do on his own and maybe making those easier to do. But I particularly view the interdependence as they're helping each other in places where they can't do things on their own.
I think that's a great thought, Christy. Well, one of the things that was really important to me was coming across the passage in Genesis that said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And quite honestly, I think I read that for so many years and thought, that's right, because men need wives. And I just, it was so easy to think that, to just feel like, well, yeah, because that's what God's talking about. And yet, really, it's more than that. It is not just, well, you know, humanity needs to procreate, so we need a woman. It's so much beyond that. And I think that we skip over that passage too quickly. And we just think, well, yeah, we need men and women. But to think that the way that God designed us is not just you need a marriage, you need a spouse. It is the idea that society is better when there are men and there are women together. And if you just think about that, the beautiful balance that we have, and you can see that in the home, but you certainly can see it in the church, and you can see it in society, that men and women each bring a different identity, a different feel into whatever setting it is. And it's a blessing. It's richer, it's deeper, it's better. And to me, recognizing that and not skipping over that fact so quickly, to just think, it's not good for man to be alone. Yeah, right. Okay. No, it's not good that he's alone. And God really pauses there. I love that thought.
Yeah. And just, he wanted that image, you know, the fellowship that God, the triune God shared, he wanted for his people that he was creating, that they could fellowship with each other and enjoy the intellect, will, and emotion that he had given them with each other, you know, and Adam had no one to do that with. And how awesome was that he even writes down in scripture that he wanted us to know that, so that we would recognize the joy and the partnership and that interdependence brings to humanity.
Wow. None of you quoted Jerry Maguire. I'm kind of surprised, right? You complete me.
No.
because I can see that both at home, right, in the church and in the world as well, where you look and go, there are things, perspectives that I would have never considered just because of the way God made me, that women that I have in my life, from my wife to members of my congregation, bring, mm-hmm. that help me see things that I would have totally missed had they not been there, or bring gifts to the table that maybe I have a gift, but I'm really weak in it. And I could do it, but it's not going to look pretty. And so, you know, that here God puts these gifts into my life. Yeah. Who I'm dependent on in many ways, and who make life richer and better because of the gifts God has given to them.
Well, and I think that's why it's so important to talk about interdependence, because again, we think we can take care of everything on our own, and in our culture and society, that's all we've been shown. Like, you really can live in a vacuum and a bubble and take care of everything and master it all.
But when you look at interdependence in light of God, of the one image that we talked about, it's the first time we get to understand it correctly, because the whole Jerry Maguire thinking is that, you know, that you're not really a full person unless you, and so to know that I am a full person in Christ and just completely dependent on Christ. And yet the beauty is I'm still interdependent with men. And that is, it really is both. And so I just, it's the design, it's perfect.
And I think that I love that thought, Naomi, that we are complete, but we also are interdependent with others, because I think so often, unintentionally, again, speaking from the single female perspective, unintentionally, there's this message of, if you're not married, you're missing something. I don't think it's malicious. I think it just happens, but I am complete in Christ. And yes, maybe I don't have that interdependence with a male in the home, but I have it in the church, in the body of Christ. And that only adds to my identity. So Right. It is a both and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm only limited to seeing my interdependence, you know, in my own specific marriage, that misses a bunch of opportunities that I can, you know, look to help the gifts of others be magnified, or to use my gifts to contribute to where there may be need or whatever. And I think it just is helpful to broaden that picture and understanding of that interdependence.
Well, what I've heard you guys just say is you've danced around it a little bit, of even just the way you guys talk about the callings God has given to men and women, you see it as blessings that God has given to us with the intention of through them bringing blessings into our lives. At the same time, we've already talked about in our discussion just how, because of sin, that at times makes it really hard to see. At times, as the devotion said, might look a little dysfunctional. I guess, how do you see that design still bringing blessings in a sinful world?
Oh my goodness. All I know is that is like a continual lifelong process where you keep going back to this and talking it over and seeing what God's word says, and then doing your best to work it out with his help and be who he has created us and made us to be. But it is just an ongoing process, and yet so needed in our world today. We've got a world that says it's all about me. Like I said, we don't need anybody else. And I think by pointing to the fact that there is a body of believers, there is a man that in my life, or men in my life, in my congregation around me, that God designed and created to bring blessing into my life and help me with things that I cannot do, to lead me in a way that I would not be able to go on my own, that those blessings are for me, to show that and to live that out and to let people see what that looks like in our world is, I think, as the devotion says, it lets our testimony and what we believe in shine that much brighter, because it's in such stark contrast to the world around us. When I can show my children what that looks like in the home, or operate like that in my church, and even in the world around me, and secular work, wherever it is, whatever the conversation is, because it stands so opposed to the world, it really allows people to see not only our dependence on each other as God's design, but even a greater dependence on Jesus. You know, it points even that much more to the fact, and it softens our heart to our need for others. And God willing would open the door to letting us show our Savior to the world around us.
And I think that was one of my favorite parts of the devotion, because it's a connection that I haven't really made before until reading what Naomi wrote. I always think about unique callings of men and women, and how do we work together, and what can I do and what can't I do? And again, we're going to talk a lot about that over the course of the summer, and that's good and beneficial. But what I hadn't thought about is, okay, as I strive to live out my unique calling, I am going to look different than the world around me, especially because I am a female. It's true for males also, but I think especially as a female, we're going to look different. What an opportunity that provides to be able to lead with a conversation, to be able to share, this is why I look different, and this is why I am okay submitting in some ways where maybe I'm not wild about it, but I'm going to, because I have the perfect example of submission in Christ. And what an amazing opportunity that can be to have the conversation, to share the gospel, to be witnesses in the world. So that was the point that I really appreciated in this devotion, how our unique callings are a way that we live and can then be a springboard for conversations.
Thanks, Christy. It is really encouraging for me to think about how when we do this right and we do this well, if it really can be a light and draw people to go, what's different about you? You know, why can you follow authority, and how come you don't, buck against it when it's not perfect or whatever? And that will be a light and an opportunity for us to say, this is why I live the way I do. Don't look at me. I want to introduce you to Jesus and point to him. And I think that is such a healthy picture. But I think one of the things that's been valuable about these conversations too is the honesty that we've been able to say that it doesn't always work right. And so what do we do when we struggle? And, you know, we can talk about this great design and how beautiful it is and how it's a great witness to the world. And I think people need to hear that, and they need that encouragement. But I think it's also okay for us to say, sometimes it's really hard. And sometimes because of sin, it doesn't work very well, because people are worried about what the other person is doing. And instead of looking to the interests of others and having the self-sacrificing love of Christ, we think I have to look out for me, and I have to make sure that you only do what you can do. And I'm reminded of, remember in Esther, after Vashti rebels against the king and doesn't do what he says. And you remember when the men are like, oh no, if we don't do something, all the wives are going to rise up and there's going to be discord and rebellion. And so sometimes I feel like we can fall into that where, you know, someone starts to feel like, no, we have to make sure that the idea of unique callings is, we have to make sure that is the most important thing that you know. It feels like that, at least sometimes to us as women, where when it works beautifully, What we hear is, wow, I'm as a, the men are very interested in helping the women use their gifts and engage in the church. But it really does go both ways. That I think the women, when it's really successful, then the women are also looking at the men and going, man, I love your leadership. I want to encourage you. How can I be a blessing to you? And they go, wow, this is really great. And that's a beautiful cycle. Sin loves to throw a wrench in it. And I think we need to admit that that happens. But like Ben asked earlier, you know, then what do you say to those women? You say, go back to the garden. You say, you just do the right thing. Even when other people aren't doing the right thing, we all sin. We are all the ones who throw the wrenches. And sometimes we're the one that are hurt by the wrenches. But the answer is always forgiveness in Christ and going back to, this is what God intended. Let's go back to that and let's start again.
One thing that I liked that really came out of this devotion was not so much like going to the word or even right here to find out what God says to me, what I look like as a woman to the world and what I should be, but rather to find out what his image is and how I will be able to share his image as a woman to those that I am in this interdependent partnership with, and how I will be able to show his image as a woman to the world that, you know, so it's not about me showing my womanhood as right. part of this interdependent relationship, but rather me showing God with the shade of the woman that he made me to be. Mm-hmm. That sounded better in my head, but I think you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But it's about God's image coming through and being reflected to the world that way. And that makes that partnership just so, that interdependence just so much better, because it's really about God's image just being more and more shown than even, you know, a man and a woman. Like, we've talked a lot about, like, what would you picture this interdependence on, and ballroom dancing. We've talked a lot about, you know, we've talked a lot about one is leading and one is following. And yet there's this beautiful dance that you watch. You know, there was a purpose to the dance, and you appreciate the dance instead of one. And they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't have that be a separate thing. They have to be doing that together.
So as you maybe think about just the both emails that we read this week, do you have a takeaway maybe that you would share with the readers? You know, one thing you wanted them to remember as they ponder and think about this week's devotions?
For me, I think a lot of it is, it really is that partnership, that as we look to one another and as women look to say, you know, our part of our goal as believers in our holy living is to help men be men and help other women be women, and that we can see how we fit together and how we do need each other. I think that is the beautiful picture that I'm hoping people walk away with, that this partnership is God's design, that the callings of men and women, this part of scripture, this isn't a troubleshooting manual. This isn't the little bit at the back where it's like, well, when things go wrong, you can try doing unique callings. This is the good picture. This is the upfront partnership, interdependence piece that God created in before there was sin. And I just think that's really important.
I think for me, it just keeps the reminder on and the focus that there are things I need from other people, that God has blessed me with the gifts of other people. And it's really easy to think, oh, you know, I got this covered. I can take care of it. I don't need anyone else. And that's not what God's design is. It's so much, so much better than that. That's right. I think for me, been very, very necessary.
Mm-hmm. And I think my takeaway is playing off of what Dawn said earlier, that it's so, so easy to always, always focus on men and women and what does this mean and how do we live these out? But as we emphasized in the second email this week, returning to the image of the designer before we seek the image of his design, and returning to the image of God that we were created in. This is where we find our identity. And I don't want to say that our male and female identities are secondary, because that's not the case, but our identity is in Christ. Our identity is the image of God. And then flowing from that are our unique callings as male and female. So remembering to keep things in the order of, we are created in the image of God. We are created male and female.
Which is also kind of where we pick up next week. We kind of stay in the garden, we do stay in the Garden of Eden, but kind of move on from how God created Adam and Eve in his image and how they are these perfect interdependent people that God has put in his creation to see what happens next. I guess, Christy, can you give us a quick rundown or a quick preview of the devotions that we're heading into next week?
Absolutely. So this week is beautiful, image of God, perfection. Next week is not. We're going to talk about what happens now that we are living out these callings in a fallen world. And that was alluded to a little bit this week, but we're really going to hit that next week. See where the fall into sin, again, messed up God's design and where we now go from here and how we deal with that.
So hope you've enjoyed the discussion. It's certainly been a blessing to us as we've been able to talk through these issues, and look forward to talking through next week's devotions with you then.